welcome to the very first, not the very first CMO podcast, but our new podcast, which is all about fractional CMOs. And joining me is probably the fractional CMO that we've known the longest, Christy Hunter. That's not a particularly fantastic title I've just given you there, but welcome to this first podcast. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Yeah, good.
Doing well.
All right, awesome. Now, just for everybody's benefit, the idea behind this is that we've adjusted our podcast direction, which was originally a bit broader about marketing, and we're going to specifically talk about fractional CMOs and two fractional CMOs, about what they do, the challenges that they face, their clients, and so on and so forth. It may stray out of that lane every now and again, because it just always does. But what we thought we'd do with this very first episode here is talk about what the hell a fractional CMO is, because this is my first question to you, Christy. When did you first hear the term fractional? Because that itself is quite a new expression, especially in the Australian marketplace, not so much the American. But when did that sort of you become aware of that?
I think it was when I started working with you guys, to be honest. So that was like, well, I don't know, 5 or so years ago. But for me, that language just really resonated because, you know, I think it takes, you know, consulting. If people think that not that consulting is basic, but it's so much more than consulting, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And it's funny because I had this conversation last Friday before that, with a guy down in Sydney, and he said to me, he says exactly the same thing. He goes, I've never realized all these years what I've been doing. He said, but I've read the term fractional CMO. He goes, that's what I've been doing.
Absolutely.
But yeah. It is bigger than the consultancy, because I feel consultants, and we do use the term consultants every now and again, but I feel consultants are there. They come in and they leave, and they're not necessarily as involved in the business as I think fractional CMOs are. Would that be your understanding as well?
Yeah, I think there's a level of investment. Well, from my perspective, there is anyway. You know, it's like I feel like I'm helping, you know, my business grow alongside theirs, and therefore there has to be a level of investment and involvement. And maybe I'm too involved sometimes, but I think that comes back to, you know, building really good relationships ultimately, right? And even though you're not an employee, I think there's sometimes the CEO or the business owner feels like you kind of are, you know?
Yeah, that's the difference that I see. I think a fractional CMO should be treating themselves as part of the team.
That's right.
And I think consultants are, you know, not necessarily kind of butting heads with the people, but I think it's more, I think fractional CMO is a much more collaborative approach.
Yes.
Than a consultant, which is still sort of staying very much on the outside, because that's kind of what they need to do, because they need to be super objective.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for me, the way I kind of do my fractional CMO work, it's not just coming in and, you know, creating the strategy and, you know, collaborating on that strategy and going, here you go. It's, you know, making sure that the team they have can implement that really well. And then I'm overseeing that as well to make sure that they're all performing in their roles and the activities that, you know, in that strategy are performing as well. Mm. So I need to make sure that, all of that is working smoothly. And then, you know, processes, procedures and all of that. So consultants don't get into the nitty gritty of that. They're likely just to develop the strategy, go, yep, you got it. Good. Okay. See you later.
Yeah. I mean, I keep thinking about, I worked at an aged care business several years ago and they had consultants from Deloitte coming in. And I was I was technically there as a consultant on a digital marketing, but I was looking at it now and I go, I was more of a fractional digital marketing head because I had my own desk. I was in part of, I was in all the teams every week. Sorry, I was in all the team meetings every week. I was treated like a member of the business, even though I was there for sort of a day and a half every week. Whereas the Deloitte guys who were doing their project rocked up, sat in a little room, all isolated to themselves, all ate lunch together. And that felt very distant. And I think anyone who wants to be a fractional CMO, you're going into this with a view that you're becoming part of their team and a really, really important part of their team.
It's immersing yourself in there. It's like building relationships, not just to the CEO, but I come in and go, right, how can I build relationships with the marketing people and the sales people and the finance people and everyone that you are, I guess those touch points in the business that is critical for you to perform well and for the marketing side to perform well. There's so much more to it, when you actually get in there.
Absolutely. So look, I think it's nice and clear that it's not, we're not consultants. I think it's nice and clear that we're not effectively, I mean, I know some people have turned into employees and part-time employees. But I think there's that also balance that we're not an employee. Because then we do still retain a little bit of objectivity.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that there has to be, like, I'm one of the leaders, as someone that the CEO can rely on to go, oh, they might come to me and go, what are you seeing here? Like, can you give me your advice? And so for me, I kind of become an advisor sometimes to the CEO during that period, which is, a good place to be, I think.
It's difficult because you're not an employee, you're not a consultant. There's an advisory role there as well, but even so, it's not quite that. It's which is why when I sort of look at the term fractional CMO, I see the word fractional, I go, okay, I get that. There's a permanency of the fractional. It's somebody that wants Christy Hunter's skills, they want your brain, they want your advice, but they couldn't largely afford to pay you a full-time role. And probably not only, I think that's the two things. Not only could they not afford to pay you a full-time role, they probably don't need you a full-time role. I would imagine most of the people that you work with don't need Christy 5 days a week.
They really don't, because once we have the right people in place, implementing, it's just me going in and going, right, how are we tracking? Are we, from a strategy point of view, are we nailing that? Do we have to tweak anything? Looking at the performance. And also from a, like, just being a mentor. I mean, I don't know if all fractional CMOs tend to mentor. I personally do. Because I think that there's importance in supporting those people in the business, because they're not, the CEO is not a marketer, other people in the business, they're not marketers. So having someone that they can lean on, when I'm there, I think is really important because, again, that comes back to productivity, performance, and how well the team is doing that, relates to revenue ultimately.
Well, let's look at those things that, from a fractional CMO, what a fractional CMO should be doing. Because I think, whilst you could sit there and go, hey, well, that's an, a long list. I think they fit into some really clear buckets. I think the first thing you said, and I would, we'll talk about these individually. I think there is three key things. I think number one is building a strategy. Number two is ensuring the implementation of that strategy on an ongoing basis. And the third one, I think, is what you just mentioned there was mentoring. Mentoring, upskilling, training, educating, whatever bundle that you want to put into it. So let's talk about that strategy one. Invariably, most of the time, I suspect you walk into these businesses and there is no strategy.
All the
And
time.
even from a business perspective, there doesn't appear to be a strategy, not just no marketing strategy.
Oh, yeah. So sometimes pulling business information out is really hard, like just basic business goals, like revenue goals, and, you know, what do they want to be achieving in the next, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years is somewhat challenging in some businesses. That, although there are some business owners and leaders out there that know that straight off the bat, but they still don't have a strategy. So I just, that's the starting point. What are the goals? Yeah. That has to be it, where you start.
Yeah. And building that strategy, you know, again, depending on the business, can take, I mean, look, I've done strategies on a piece of paper in about half an hour, you know, but, you know, but I've also been in the situation where I've gone, you know what, I need a good 8-week run at this because I need to talk to some people. I need to understand that, you know, the systems in the businesses, the people in the businesses. But it's a case by case basis, isn't it? Each
it
one
really is. Yeah. It depends on the size and team and what their ambition is. But you know, whether they want to dig in deep into like customer research, and when that is an activity, then that obviously prolongs that period of when you're, you know, developing that strategy piece. You don't necessarily have to do that every time, but, you know, so it's, it really, it does depend on the business.
Going off on a tangent there from a strategy perspective and all the people that you've worked with in the past, is there a particular industry or a type that you found the hardest that you think is probably the most challenging in terms of walking into and going, shit, I don't know what I'm going to do here?
I think some tech businesses.
Yeah.
Like, because they are obviously super smart people, but for them to articulate, you know, what they do in a simple way is really challenging. So I'm like, you just got to dumb it down, guys. Like, you might think that, you know, you are talking in a way that you're like, oh, this is just, you know, super simple, and people like are just going to think, oh, you just, you know, like just dumbing it down too much. Because I definitely have had clients, well, our clients are technical, they'll know this. And I'm like, you're still missing the mark here.
Yeah.
You know, so technical businesses for me, I'm just like, oh, it just hurts my brain, because then I have to understand what they do. And, you know, unless you spend like a lot of time in the business, there's times where I'm just like, I think I'm just scratching the surface here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've worked with software businesses, no, specific software businesses in specific niches. And I look at it and just go, I don't face it with dread. Maybe I do. Maybe I do face it with dread. Maybe I'm just lying to myself. But I face it, I look at it and just go, Christ, I've got to understand what this software does to be able to create some sort of valid marketing strategy, which is why I generally don't work with clients anymore. But when I do, the one I'm working with at the moment is a brewery, because they go, hey, I fucking understand this, right? There's zero complexity here. But, you know, I say that, but it's
if you want to develop any good strategy, there still takes, you know, some thinking time and research and all of that. So I don't think anything's super simple. You know, the industry, you know, beer, brewery, it seems simple, but like the thinking behind that and making sure that you're going to market with a good strategy, it still takes time and effort.
Yeah, I'll tell you the ones I find the hardest in the strategy. Not the hardest, that's the wrong word, challenging, you know, or, you know, more complex, right, would be the ones where you have businesses that you are trying to target multiple different decision makers within the business, right? So you get, let's say you're working with a client that is trying to sell something to construction companies. But they know that there is a requirement that, you know, so let's say it's, I don't know, health and safety software or whatever it might be. You need to have the people that are implementing the software need to buy into it. The CFO who's going to spend the money needs to buy into it.
Yes.
And the CEO who runs the company needs to buy into it. And their own internal safety people need to. So you've got 3 to 4 different decision makers, and your marketing strategy needs to appeal to all of them.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
And
And
I
I
saw
did that for a
that.
mining company when I worked in house. Again, it was tech and mining. So it was, we had to appeal to the user. So that was, machinery operators, truck drivers that were wearing a headband that measured their fatigue levels, basically.
Right, okay.
And we had to go, this is safe, this you don't have it. And they were like, no, it's going to fry our brains. The users were like, no, we don't, it can read our brain waves. It was weird. And then of course you had procurement within that, and the leaders of the business, and but it was a safety product, so we knew that, because safety is so big in mining, if you have an incident on site, your whole site's going to shut down and you're going to lose millions of dollars. So
Totally.
that's the message to the
Yeah.
CEOs and the leaders.
Yeah.
And then the safety stuff, like make sure that you are focusing on the safety of your workers, because we want them to come home to their families. And so so there was different messaging at different levels.
Yeah, it's yeah, that's a challenge, especially is also when the sales cycle can be really long, when the
It
decision.
is,
The
yes.
decision isn't something they'll go, hey, yes, we want to buy this today. This is something which go, hey, let's look at this in next year's budgets. And you're just like,
And it's such a long process that,
so strategy aside, so strategy number one part of being a fractional CMO. Second thing is then the implementation of that. Because I think, again, there's a lot of people that just sort of go, I think the view of a consultant is, hey, here's your strategy, we'll see you later. And they let the client try and implement it themselves. I feel with a fractional CMO, the job is very much about, hey, now I've worked out what it is you need to do. Now I'm going to help you execute that. How do you do that best?
So a couple of things. I just assess where they're at currently and what their appetite is to build out a marketing team, or if their preference is to use external suppliers, and then have my oversight, where it doesn't matter which option they go with, but I always recommend I need to oversee that to make sure
Yes.
that this is being implemented and done well to get the results that you need. And then I usually just aim to say, look, you can work with me in a couple of different ways. I can come in one day a week, or I can check in with you on a Monday for a half an hour phone call, and then I can come in once a month. It really does depend on, where they're at, their budget, and do they actually want someone responsible for that marketing function in their business, or do they think that they can just deal with that themselves?
Assuming you've done the strategy and they've bought into it and they've gone, yep, Christy, we need to execute all this, and they're open-minded as to how that needs to happen, which is obviously that's the place you want to be in. How hands-on do you remain as a fractional CMO moving forward?
So I would say I set up systems like a weekly WIP, and we go through all the projects to make sure that things are moving. And we're obviously optimizing as we're going along. So there's that. And then I'll also do a check-in with the business leader, like a one-on-one phone call, or a meeting. Or if I'm in, there's a client that I work, long-term client that I work with, where I It's every Wednesday. I work with the marketing coordinator on key initiatives. There's key initiatives that I work on because there's just too much going on. So it's like the top level stuff that I kind of help out. Like, for instance, at the moment, I'm helping trademarking.
Right, okay.
But the standard stuff is monthly reporting. I'm in there once a month, and I'm the coordinator, and I pull reports together. We're right. This is where we're at. This is where we're tracking. So we've set KPIs, and we make sure that we're hitting those. So that's the level of involvement on an
Okay.
ongoing, long-term basis. Like that's where we can, do some really good work. That's where we can get some great results happening.
And again, that's not a hard and fast rule for a fractional CMO. I've seen fractional CMOs that are perhaps a bit more standoffish than you would be.
Totally. Yes.
And I've also seen fractional CMOs that are much more immersed than you might be as
Absolutely.
well. So I think it's case by case basis in terms of what does the client need, what is the fractional, what is the fractional CMO capable of doing?
Exactly. It's like what your skill set is as well. Like, I'm lucky in the sense that I can do a lot of things. I don't love getting into back ends of websites. I have done it, but do I want to? I really don't. So I don't want to be creating social media posts. Can I do it? Yes. Can I do emails? Yes, I can. Like, but that is not the best use of my time. It's the strategy, it's digging into the numbers, it's, building those relationships and driving initiatives forward in the
Okay.
business.
So we've got building the strategy, we've got implementing the strategy, and I think the third one, which is often very, very overlooked, the third aspect I think of a good fractional CMO, is this idea that you're there to nurture, train, develop, whatever phrase you want to use here. Your job is to work with people within the business and potentially upskill them in terms of their knowledge of marketing. And for me, that could be the CEO, which is the obvious one, because I think, as you said earlier on, you find a lot of CEOs are trade-based CEOs. They've come up through the business, or they've started the business and they understand the operational side of the business, but not so much the rest of it. But I think there's also an opportunity for a lot of fractional CMOs to really put an imprint on some of the junior members of the marketing team. There are internal ones.
Absolutely.
Have you found
Absolutely.
yourself doing that a lot, or is that something that you could do more of, or what's the
So I've got one currently, and the work that I did at PeopleIn, that we brought on a marketer, a coordinator. And that was, I think, a surprise to the leadership team. They're like, "Oh, we didn't think that was part of, your offering, but we can see that that's what, where your skill set lies, and that's really helpful for us. So thank you."
Yeah.
Because I just see the need there, right? Like, why wouldn't you want to support and help upskill your people?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Even if it's a if it's not necessarily upskilling them directly, but it's also, I mean, look, I think a lot of fractional CMOs might look at it as go, well, I don't want to upskill them too much because that then puts me out of a job.
It
And it can. You're absolutely right, but inevitably I think long term, doing the right thing by the client is better than you sort of trying to hold on for dear life.
Absolutely. You don't want to be kind of scraping around going, "Oh, I've got to prove some, that I'm adding value here." Like,
Yeah.
I've come towards like the end of contract sometimes, and I'm like, "I think this is nearing the end because, there's not much here for me to do now."
Yeah.
So,
Well, that's an interesting thing to perhaps like focus on. Make that the next question is, how do you know when it's time to go?
Well, I think for like if you have helped build out the marketing team or at least one coordinator in the business and they're performing well and they're super happy and everyone's thriving, and you're turning up on a weekly basis and you're going, "Honestly, I don't think there's anything else here for me to do." It doesn't happen too often because the current situation with the marketing coordinator in this longer term with this longer term client is she doesn't have any ambitions to get to that strategy
Right.
or marketing manager.
Yep.
She likes just not being told what to do, but she's just got a job and she's happy to do it, and she likes me as that layer in there where she's like, "It's okay, I don't mind dealing with, the leaders of the business, but I don't want that responsibility on top of all this as well." So people are happy just to do the do.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
that's okay. Not every marketer is ambitious.
I think, I mean, I would argue that I would argue that a fractional CMO should never, a contract should never come to an end. The point is that I think if you are genuinely, you genuinely have insight, you understand the business, that even after the strategy's been put in place, you've got a good implementation team in there. You've upskilled all the internal members of the team. I would argue that there's still a position that you should be going in for an hour, 2 hours a month, and just going, hey, I'm here to stress test everything. And I think perhaps that's the final that's the final boss moment of being a fractional CMO, is that you're there as the stress test. And to walk in and go, are these things being done? Is this achieving what we set it out to achieve? Are the results what you want? And if the client at any point says no, you're there then to go, well, why not? And I think that's what we should be focusing on as a long-term position as a fractional CMO.
The only other time where I'd say that they might not want you there anymore is when they go, oh, you've just set up all of our systems and we're rolling nicely. We think it's time to put on a full-time marketing manager.
True. Yeah, no, but I would still argue the stress test is there. Is you know the you know to sit there and say, you know, your car doesn't need to see a mechanic once a month because it's got a great driver. You know, I mean, I know that's a fucking terrible analogy, but there's still an argument there that that's you're there to poke. You're there to poke. You know.
Look, I agree. I just think that not every CEO or business leader necessarily sees it like that,
No,
like,
and perhaps they don't necessarily want attention drawn to, you know,
because you
maybe
don't want
they're
to be
not.
seen to be nitpicking at the marketing manager or whatever. So you kind of have to like let them go, let them thrive
Let them make
and
their own.
learn.
It's like children, just let them go once they've
That's
reached a certain
right.
age. So, okay. So look, I think that's a really good overview of what a fractional CMO does. I'd be super interested, if anyone's listening to this later on, to give us your ideas if there's things you think we've missed. Obviously, I think that's a broader that's a broader overview. We're not, you know, going into the nitty-gritty and the details today. Probably the last question I want to ask you today is I think the first half has very much been targeted to people who might be thinking of becoming a fractional CMO, but even clients who are thinking of bringing a fractional CMO in. But this question is sort of strictly, I would say, or maybe actually maybe it's for both sides of it as well. But how do you charge, or how do, let's say, because I imagine it's different from different clients, how do you prefer to charge? Because in my understanding, there's kind of four different ways: by the hour, by the day, by the outcomes, and then kind of on the side by the project, which is also by the outcomes. But let's say the third one is by the month, then the fourth one is by the outcomes.
So I charge by the project, the deliverable, initially. So I will come in because usually they go, we need a strategy. And I'm like, okay, well, let's start with that, right? So there's a process with that. I give them an idea of my process, the timeline, and then just package that up based on my knowledge, expertise, and all that, right? And so I present that to them, but I also present the fact that they can still have me there to support them and keep them accountable and, help with that oversight of the implementation on a weekly, monthly basis. And I give them some options around that. And that is usually built around my hourly rate.
Okay. So I think the challenges I see with all four of those options. Number one, hourly rate. See, there's a time and place for hourly rate, and I know a lot of CMOs that are fractional CMOs who are who do an hourly rate with a block of hours per month for a client, because that helps them stay nice and defined with that client. I'm going to do 10 hours with you every month, and this is where we're going to use those hours. So it doesn't bleed into other staff. They then can have the capacity to say, no, we've done all the hours this month. Sorry, you've got to wait till next month. So I think that works well with some people. And there's pros and cons for all of these, right? The challenge with the hourly one is when you get nitpicky clients going, well, you said you did 10 hours this month, but I only know that you did 9 hours, right? I'd argue if you ever get into that conversation, you just want to fuck.
Really? Because I, like, even though I calculated off a hourly, I don't tell them that's how I've calculated.
No, no, no.
So no. I say your option is you can check in with me for 15 minutes once a week and you get an hour in person or on a call, right? So yeah. that that's a little price.
Yes. Yeah.
So, I think, out of scope, and if you need me for anything extra, it's $350.
Yeah. I think, and then I think the day rate, some people like doing day rates because that's a start and finish point. You know, they come in, I'm going to spend a day with you, I'm going to immerse myself in the business, but when I'm gone, that's it.
Yes, right? Yes.
I don't want you calling me at 3 o'clock in the morning on a fucking Thursday or whatever, asking me stuff. That's I'm here to do this on this day.
Completely. And I do have one client like that. So I charge a day rate for that client, and they know that I'm not going to be checking emails and doing anything out of hours. So that works nicely for me too.
The third one, I think, is the month is my preference now, and my preference in terms of people that work with us and how they invoice, right?
Yeah.
Is that fixed fee per month. Okay. And there's a reason why I think this one works so well is, number one, the December January challenge, right?
Yeah.
Is if you do hours or you do days per month, and you get to December and people go, well, you're only going to really do half a month. And you're like, oh, fuck, that's my billing halved. And then January, some of them don't get back until the last week of January. You know, all of a sudden you're taking sometimes a 6 week dive in your business. Yeah. Right?
Yes.
I think when you present it as a monthly rate and you have the conversation at the start of your contract with them.
Yeah.
And you say to them, every month is this fee. So let's say $7,000, right? But you say in December, it's going to be $3,500. And in January, it's going to be $3,500. Because I'm going to take 4 weeks off. You're going to take 4 weeks off.
Yeah.
When you start the conversation like that, then they're anticipating it already.
Yes, that's right.
When it comes around, you don't have to have that awkward conversation about, well, you know, what are you going to do over December?
Correct. Yeah.
The other thing I like with the monthly fee is, and I had this conversation with another one of our fractional CMOs, Jamie, the other day, who's new to all this. I said, pick an amount of money. Now, within that, give defined time, right? So you go, hey, I'm going to charge you this amount of money. And included in that is a half a day in the business every week, right? But also within that, I'm going to do this. So undefined things with undefined timings, if that makes sense, right?
What's an example of that?
For him, it might be, any emails you want to send me, I'll reply to any emails, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm put a fixed amount of emails or a fixed amount of time on the emails. Just say it's whenever you email me, I'll email you back within 24 hours, right?
Yeah.
With him, and I think with some other CMOs, it's I will, you'll have access to my network as well. So any customers or people that I know in the past that potentially are good customers of yours, I will introduce you to them. And I think if you have a big network, that's extremely valuable in terms of what you can do for them. So you've got, to me, a fixed monthly fee with tangible and intangible benefits. Tangible being around the hours, days, or whatever, and intangible being about the, you know, the other bigger things. The last thing I think you've got to consider, and I think this is especially true for someone like yourself, is that you're not just paying for somebody's time, you're paying for your experience.
My coach is like, you need to share like your process and, you know, like my business goes, how do you like get that information out of your brain about how you work and how you think? And I'm like, I don't know.
But it's that famous story, and I paraphrase, you know, about the little guy that comes along and fixes a boat or something, you know, and he fixes it in 5 minutes or 10 minutes or something like that. But he charges thousands and thousands of dollars, and they were like, "But you were only here for 10 minutes." And he goes, "Yeah, but there's 20 years of experience in how to fix this boat in that 20 minutes. That's it. Because all the other people that tried to fix it couldn't fix it."
Yes, absolutely.
And I think for you, presenting you as Christy, you just go, you're not just buying my time, you're buying my experience. And I think the
Absolutely.
biggest challenge from any fractional CMO is that message, is making that message resonate with the client.
Absolutely. And I do know that, most of my clients do get surprised along that journey because I have worked in agency. I have headed up teams in startups to large organizations, run my own business. So I've been there, done that, seen it all, and in agency land in particular, like you're working on so many different types of clients and you just have to be like, really quick to move and think. And so the fact that I have the ability to provide a solution pretty quickly, they go, oh shit, okay. So yeah, that's that bonus.
Okay, look, you know, you and I can probably talk for hours, and we probably will do this again, in more detail. Anyone who wants to reach out with to you, you're pretty easy to find out there. And it,
How that sounds.
I meant that in a, I meant that because your marketing's so good. It's huntermarketing.co, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the website. Business is
That's
called
it.
Hunter Marketing Co. But yeah, that's the
Okay,
website.
cool. Awesome. All right.
Fab.
Thank you very much for that. And as I
It's
say,
a
anybody that
pleasure.
listened in today and has some opinions and some ideas, disagrees with anything we've said, look,
Bring it.
we'd love to hear feedback. So please send that through to me. SEMO, if you want to find out more about us, www.semo.com. That's spelled CEMOH.com. And I am on simon@semo.com. So once again, Christy, thank you for your time today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Fantastic. Thanks for your time, Simon.